morning, everyone. It is Thursday, the 2nd of June. Plenty happening as always. Chris, you've got overnight for us. Good morning.
Thanks, Ben. The Dow was down 177 points overnight. It was the second losing session in a row for US markets. The broader S&P 500 down 75 basis points. The NASDAQ down 72 basis points. European markets all weaker. It was a little bit of an absurd situation overnight. US economic data, in particular, the manufacturing PMI numbers came in better than expected. Economists were expecting them to go backwards. They came in ahead of expectations and the market took it as a negative. Why did they do that? Because everyone's believing that it increases the probability that the Fed will hike rates faster. And that, of course, is not necessarily a good thing for equity markets. The Fed's beige book also showed slight to modest growth in May, although labor and supplies were the hurt points and inflation is rising rapidly. In other news, CEO of JP Morgan, Jamie Dimon, shared a warning about the US economy, saying that there is a hurricane coming and that we're all sitting here in its path. So some glass half empty sort of sentiment on the street overnight. There are a number of other analysts out also saying that the recent gains on the S&P were nothing more than a bear market rally and that further declines are coming. So like I said, more negative than positive. Locally, I'm sure Ben, you'll talk about this in just a moment, but locally materials plays are actually holding up reasonably well. Iron ore was up 1.4% overnight, and that's off of the back of some positive sentiment around the lockdowns in Shanghai coming to an end.
Thank you, Chris. Yes, as you mentioned, the materials are the top end of the market. Energy and gold are the only two sectors in the green. Energy is the big outperformer, up 2.3%. Materials is the best of those underwater, down just 0.4%. We've got a whole range of sectors down 1% or worse. The very bottom end of that is technology, down 2.4%. Healthcare, industrials, financials, the next worst, all down around 1.3%. In the news this morning, we had Credit Suisse adjusting its forecast for the lithium market. We know lithium had a big day yesterday with all of the major names getting sold off fairly heavily. Credit Suisse now expects lithium supply will meet demand in 2023 to 2024 and exceed demand, creating a surplus in 2025, which is pretty catastrophic if true for the lithium market, which is so built up on that future demand outstripping supply prospects. On the stock front, REA Group, which is the REA ticker, has an investor day. The headline there is they are still targeting double-digit EBITDA growth through the cycle. Mincor, ticker MCR, has reported that they have further significant results at its Golden Mile project. They're down 0.8% of that. On that, REA Group was down 3.2%, I should mention. Wesfarmers has an investor day. Key messages out of that include retail, their retail division being well-equipped to manage inflationary pressures and the Wesfarmers portfolio continuing to evolve and develop a large-scale differentiated retail ecosystem. They're down 0.6% on that. And there is a report in The Australian this morning that Tabcorp, TAH, shareholders are not happy with the prospect of an equity raise if it is successful in the WA TAB auction. Keep an eye on that. They're down 0.3% on the back of that. We also have Technology One, TNE, ex-dividend, not a particularly large dividend there. So again, not one that income investors are going to be getting up and about for. On the economic front, we have balance of trade for April and retail sales for April. And in the US tonight, we have first quarter unit labor costs and non-farm productivity. Initial jobless claims for May, factory orders for April, and Fed speeches from Logan and Mester. And that's all we've got today. As Chris said, we are down fairly hard this morning, 69 points down on the open, almost a percent worse than the 55.4 futures were pointing to. And that's about that. Leighton, what have you got for brokers this morning?
Thank you, Ben. Just following on with that Credit Suisse lithium market forecast adjustment, I'll leave all the details to Henry, as I'm sure he will go into that. But Allkem and Pilbara Minerals have both been downgraded to neutral from outperform. The code for Allkem is AKE and the code for Pilbara Minerals is PLS. And the target price for Pilbara Minerals falls 19% to $3, implying a 30% upside. And the target price for Allkem has fallen 10%, $14.70, which implies a 27% upside. But on the other hand, Macquarie says that the sell-off may be overdone. And with Liontown Resources expected to secure the binding offtake agreement investment with Tesla, broker has retained its outperform recommendation and target price of $2.50, implying a 117% upside. And just noting that Liontown was down 19.1% yesterday, Pilbara was down 22% yesterday, and Allkem was down 15.4% yesterday. Thank you, Ben.
Great stuff. Thank you, Leighton. Henry, what have you got in Henry's take today?
Thanks, guys. Just following on, I guess, from the whole lithium crash yesterday. It was a meeting of a perfect storm. There was three events that crashed the lithium market yesterday, not least of which was Goldman Sachs and Credit Suisse downgrading, but also there was reports coming out of Argentina about a cap on pricing coming out of their export market. It looks like some people were what they call under invoicing, which to me sounds like they were calling the price a bit lower to avoid royalties and tax payments to the broke Argentinian government. So that just came on the back of those downgrades from those brokers. Also, we saw yesterday reports coming out of a thing called The Paper, which is a Chinese media-backed outlet, and that was suggesting that BYD, which is one of the behemoths in battery manufacture and a car maker in China, had bought six African lithium mines and was going to become self-sufficient in lithium for decades to come. Well, yeah, okay, well, that's fine and dandy, but we'll see how that one works out. There were very few details without sketchy at best, but it's not easy just to turn on a lithium mine. You can't. There's lots of lithium around the place. Some of it is uneconomic, to say the least. So just writing today about what to do with lithium stocks. I have been a fan of the stocks, and to me, yesterday was a bit of an opportunity. Not to say that that opportunity has passed yet, because sentiment, as Marcus rightly pointed out this morning, when it turns against you, it does turn against you big time, and that can last for a little while. The last time the lithium sector was imploded was back in 2017, where it got well ahead of itself, and as a result, that market peaked and then fell into oblivion for 3 or 4 years as demand caught up. So I don't think that's going to happen this time. Everybody in the world, apart from Goldman Sachs and Credit Suisse, believes that prices will stay elevated until 23, 24, or at least 24, 25, because there is no new supply coming on stream and the demand is just getting bigger and bigger. Goldman actually thinks the opposite. They think that prices will weaken and then they will strengthen after that, which I don't know. Most people think they're deluded, but anyway, we'll see how it all pans out. Apart from that, so read that if you're interested in the lithium space. As I say, to me, it looked like a bit of a bargain yesterday, but I'm not leaping just yet. I want to see some more signs that maybe we are seeing some stability. Interestingly, the Macquarie piece this morning, Pilbara's valuation at the moment is implying a 80% price fall in the price of lithium from where it is now. So that's a pretty big drop, seeing as lithium actually hasn't fallen. But anyway, and yesterday I was in with the Ausbiz team doing the investment committee, which is an interesting exercise in he who shouts loudest for their stock gets the stock in the portfolio. Yeah, interesting exercise. That will be on next week.
How loud did you shout, Henry?
I was, well, Julia Lee's away. She's taken a sabbatical for a few months. Maybe that's a sign of the market, but I shouted relatively loud for some stocks not to be put in. But the problem with this process is that the game changes very rapidly. And, you know, you record television on one day and something changes that evening. And for instance, in Woodside, where we were saying, no, don't go to Woodside because there's a big overhang and we're still complicated, so we won't put it in the portfolio. Well, last night after market, of course, that overhang was cleared and Woodside's up 4%. So timing is everything. But with television recorded programs, when they put them out 5 days later, you can look a goose.
Huh, yes, unfortunate.
That's very good. Lots of good stuff as always. Thanks, Henry. And Chris, what have you got in your trading section today?
Thanks, Ben. I'm taking a look at Fortescue. It is a play on the Chinese reopening. Now, I know the lockdown in Shanghai officially ended earlier in the week, but we stand to see a bit more positive sentiment coming through. The iron ore price has been on the rise the past couple of sessions on the back of this amid hopes of a recovery in demand. So we mustn't forget that Chinese metal producers, they were not able to cash in on the traditional peak season for construction projects. Of course, they were in lockdown, and there is an expectation from quite a few analysts that production and therefore iron ore demand will snap back aggressively as they play catch up. Now, I think, if I may be so bold, a lot of that sentiment is reflected in the Fortescue chart, which has been grinding sideways and the range has been narrowing, and it's formed a pennant pattern on the chart. Probably doesn't mean a lot to a lot of you, but typically these sorts of patterns precede a sharp break, and it looks like that break is going to be higher. And then even on a day like today, when the market is down 60 or 70 odd points. Fortescue at last check was higher on the day. So for anyone interested in playing this one at home, I suggest you wait towards the end of the day around 3:30. If it's holding on to those gains, it might be one that you have a bit of a nibble at the end of the day and add it to your portfolio. But Fortescue is the chart of the day. Thanks, Ben.
Great work. Thank you, Chris. And Marcus, what's happening in strategy?
Yeah, morning, Ben. I've written about the bounce running out of Puff, 2 days going nowhere on Wall Street. We had hoped over the weekend and over their holiday that they were going to follow through on the 9% bounce in the S&P 500, but it's not to be. No big sell-off, though, and the market last night closed, I think, a couple of hundred points off its lows, but it does look like the uncertainty over what the or whether the Fed can manage a slowdown in inflation without a recession is unknown and is going to continue to kill the cat until it's sorted out. You might have seen or heard mention already of the JP Morgan CEO who has been picked up by the media because he used the word hurricane, saying the US, the challenges facing the US economy are akin to a hurricane down the road. His quote is, right now it's kind of sunny, things are doing fine, everyone thinks the Fed can handle this. That hurricane is right out there down the road coming our way. We don't know if it's a minor one or a super storm. And the point about that is, this is one of the most in tune or tuned financial brains in the world, and he is making the point that they just don't know whether the Fed can handle this and whether they are going to manage it properly. And I would just point out, the reason he's making a fuss, I assume, is because the JP Morgan share price has dropped by a third since November. So when interest rates ripped up, the JP Morgan share price started coming off quite heavily, and it bounced heavily when the market bounced just recently. So he is trying to encourage the Fed to not raise rates too rapidly. And the issue we all have, we just don't know whether they'll handle that. So whilst the market, US market, runs out of steam, the uncertainty remains. It looks like we're probably not going anywhere until we have a, you know, a couple of months of numbers and we get a handle on whether growth is going to be knocked off its trajectory by interest rates or not. Meanwhile, in our market, things are going okay. I've got charts of the ASX 200 in there. We're in a sideways trading range, sort of middle of that range at the moment. The banks are holding up quite nicely. The iron ore price, as Chris talked about, has turned in the last week or so, and the resources sector is in a fairly long-term big uptrend, and you'd feel pretty comfortable, I think, with this Chinese reopening trade holding on to resources at the moment. And Macquarie had a bit of research out yesterday. I'm not sure I mentioned it in the podcast yesterday. Bit of research out yesterday saying that the sector should remain supported ahead of the results season coming up in August, with the dividends coming up as well. So happy with resources. But just on the banks, I would also point out that CoreLogic house price numbers yesterday ended a 20-month run of gains. National house prices fell 0.1% in May. Sydney down quite a savage 1%, and Melbourne fell 0.7%. Most other capital cities were up. Obviously, the problems are higher interest rates. They're coming along. Official rates haven't really moved much yet, but they are set to rise. And inflation. We thought inflation wouldn't matter, but when you're paying $200 to fill up your four-wheel drive at the petrol station at the moment, especially when it's your kid's car, let me tell you, you do start to think, maybe I can't go out spending money. So inflation and higher interest rates hurting the property market at the moment. And those problems are going to be with us for a while until the Russian-Ukraine war ends. Energy prices are going to stay up. The inflation trend is not transitory by the looks of it. It's quite hard set. And the housing market's unlikely to fire for some time. And although you might suggest, oh, maybe we should sell Domain Group or REA or housing-related stocks, there's a good one, McGrath. Remember McGrath listing? It was all a disaster. Real estate agent, MEA is the code. Tiny stock and only a few cents. But that's down 49% since November last year. Domain Holdings is down 46%. REA is down 42%. The message on that is housing-related stocks have already been belted. The only end of that sector that's holding up, of course, is the banks. And you sort of wonder, with the CBA's got a dividend coming up in August, but the other banks, you've got 5 months to wait for your next dividend. You sort of think maybe that's wasted money at the moment, sitting around waiting for things to quieten down, especially if the housing market falls over. I wouldn't scare anyone out of the banks. They're doing pretty nicely compared to the rest of the world, and certainly wouldn't scare any income-focused retirees out of it. But you do sort of think, well, you know, that sector's held up quite well. Housing market's coming off the top. Maybe I'm not going to make money in that sector for a while. Otherwise, I've also commented on the lithium stocks, right or wrong. And I know there are going to be some lithium Lithium Disciples, who are going to be the last shags on the rock defending the lithium space. But you do have to respect the fact that sell-off yesterday, whether it was Goldman Sachs or the BYD thing, it doesn't really matter. That was a significant sell-off. Corrections often start fast. And when you've got what I call NOGs, I think it should be NEGs, no earnings, good story stocks, no earnings. There are no foundations and sentiments, everything. So sentiments turned the top yesterday, and you might just wonder whether you should be buying. I know we can retain a long-term faith, but short-term, a lot of profits and a lot of traders will be saying stand aside. So you're going to end up being a long-term investor if you don't do something about it now. Anyway, lots of views on lithium, obviously. Shaw's, I don't know whether Henry mentioned, Shaw's had a piece of research out today, which was a very good write-up on the lithium sector, and they're essentially positive. There are some good Australian hard rock developers, they call them, in WA. They mention IGO, Pilbara Minerals, PLS, Mineral Resources, MIN, Global Lithium Resources, GL1, Liontown Resources, LTR, and Lepidico, have I pronounced that right, LPD. Anyway, they have a piece of research out talking about that and suggesting the long-term outlook for lithium is still very good. And that is, I did have an article I wrote called Money Isn't Everything, which I've had in the newsletter this week. I put it up on LiveWire. I've now got more likes than anybody else, which will irritate all the other writers. And it's top of the pops on the trending front and lots of comments. Worth a read there. Also, I put in today, as I promised yesterday, that article, Why It's Better to Be a Small Investor. That's a good article. Should give you a warm glow about being an at-home investor rather than a fund manager. There are advantages of being a fund manager, but plenty of advantages from being independent, free to do what you want, and avoiding the issues fund managers have, particularly with regard to liquidity. And might just mention, did you see the Tesla comment today? Elon Musk saying, get into the office or don't work Tesla. You can pretend to be working for someone else. Good quote. Anyway, that's it from me.
Lots of interesting stuff there. Thank you, Marcus. And we'll finish with our question of the day, as always. And today it is, what is your favorite quote, Leighton?
Thank you, Ben. I am a sucker for Matthew McConaughey. And if you haven't listened to his book, I highly recommend it. So you kind of need to picture this in his voice. But the man who invented the hamburger was smart. The man who invented the cheeseburger was a genius.
Okay. I'm glad you didn't try to do it in his voice.
No, I wish you had. All right.
Henry, your favorite quote?
My favorite quote comes from the great Derek Trotter, also known as Del Boy. And it is, who dares wins, Rodders.
Is that also your favourite TV show from the mid-2000s?
I wouldn't say it's my favourite TV show. It is one of the classics of British television. Who dares wins is also, as you will probably know, the motto of the SAS.
Very good. Chris?
Luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity.
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
Marcus?
If you've got enemies, it means you've stood up for something after all. Anyway, Winston Churchill. He also made a comment, which I rather liked, about some people's idea of free speech is they can say what they want, but if anybody says anything in reply, that's outrageous, which is sort of a pre-social media analysis of social media. Say what you want, but God, don't anybody say anything that you don't want to hear.
Very good. And I'll put mine forward. I'm not sure where the origin is, but it is, if you can do something about a situation, why worry? And if you can't do something about a situation, why worry? So basically, everything is either out of your control or in your control. If it's in your control, go fix it. And otherwise, don't worry.
When we're on motorcycle tour, that was my brother-in-law's constant quote to me. Look, if we can't do anything about it, let's not worry about it.
Try and minimize unnecessary stress. Very good. All right, we'll wrap that up. Thanks, guys. See you tomorrow.
See you later.
Thanks, Dan.